From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Justin Martin. In a few minutes, North Texans at the microphone. StoryCorps has rolled into town. First, to immigration. In less than an hour, President Obama will address the nation and announce his plans to issue an executive order on immigration reform. The move could spare as many as 5 million immigrants who aren't here legally from deportation. Republicans in Congress call it unconstitutional. Many, though, are looking forward to the president's order. We'll broadcast the president's speech live at 7 here on KERA 90.1 as well as on KERA TV. We'll also stream it live this evening on KERANews.org. A federal civil rights complaint was filed this morning against the city of Dallas and the police department. B.J. Austin says the group Dallas Communities Organizing for Change wants the Justice Department to investigate use of excessive force by Dallas officers.
Dallas Communities Organizing for Change announced the filing in front of City Hall.
We all appreciate your time here today. And, you know, this is a contentious issue. We understand that.
Attorney Cheyenne Elahi filed the civil rights complaint. It requests an investigation of alleged violations of the Civil Rights Act on behalf of African Americans and Hispanics. Those are populations, the complaint says, have been historically subjected to police excessive force. Recent shootings involving officers sparked a disturbance in the South Dallas Dixon Circle neighborhood, protest marches downtown, and a couple of angry town hall meetings. Cooper Caraway with Dallas Communities Organizing for Change says they've repeatedly sent their concerns to city leaders.
We filed detailed reports detailing Dallas police use of force. We've sent them to every city council member. We've attempted to meet with city council members to discuss these reports, to discuss these ethics complaints, and all except for Adam Medrano, we've only been met with doors in the face.
So Caraway says they're taking it to the Justice Department. According to the complaint, over the last decade, 58 people were killed by Dallas police officers, most African American or Hispanic. 36 of those killed were confirmed as unarmed. Caraway says it's up to the U.S. Attorney's Office in Dallas to decide if the complaint merits action. No response from that office to a request for comment. Earlier this month on KERA's Think, Dallas Police Chief David Brown said he understands the anger and lack of trust among minority communities when there's an officer-involved shooting.
Particularly black communities who have a horrible experience going back decades with police community relationships. And many times the perspective is shaped by the history of the relationship, not necessarily the particular incident that just happened.
Chief Brown says engaging minority communities in a positive way is a top priority, and so is protecting an officer's life in split-second dangerous situations. The complaint lists 10 demands, including a change that police shoot to disable, not shoot to kill, better crisis training, and body cameras for all officers. Brown says officers are getting body cams, and next month the department will unveil a website to provide the facts of every officer-involved shooting since 2003. For KERA News, I'm B.J. Austin.
Also today, Chief Brown detailed more than half a dozen changes already made relating to officer-involved shootings. They include continued use of force training for all officers and creation of a new report to document use of force. The StoryCorps mobile booth opened today in Dallas. A Fort Worth artist and the Dallas County Sheriff were among the first North Texans to share their stories. KERA's Dwali Saikautel was there.
Great weather and local music set the mood for the day's first StoryCorps recording between installation artist Christopher Blay and the Tarrant County College professor who inspired him, Richard Doherty.
He was the person that gave me that first push, and I'm bringing him here to kind of talk about that, you know, just like the power of like this individual gesture that he may not even remember, but
you got to be able to recognize talent and support it. Chris is one of those people. So when he calls, I texted him back and said, just tell me when to show up, dude.
Waiting for their turn was Dallas County Sheriff Lupe Valdez and our guest, Claudio Taffer.
There's no such thing as a normal sheriff's day. After a real stressful week, I used to go dancing, and we would just halfway dance and halfway laugh up and down the dance floor. So automatically I thought, you know, it's going to be crying, it's going to be laughter. No, Claudia should be there.
Taffer has known the sheriff since her first campaign.
You know, every day she lives the way she's supposed to live, and she's here for the community. She's kind. She, as you notice, we laugh.
These two are close enough that she makes fun of his accent.
As I was hearing him talk, I thought, well, I hope they understand for one thing.
And if not, just press number one for English.
That's what StoryCorps is, an archive of funny moments, of triumphs, of humility, reflecting everyday people. Duahli Saikautau, KERA News.
What if we ask you something you don't know?
Then I will tell you I don't know.
You can tell your story, too. Starting tomorrow morning at 10, you can sign up for an interview spot at StoryCorps.org. Zipping through the solar system 310 million miles from Earth, a comet is carrying an invention by a North Texan. The goal? Analyze the building blocks of life. It's part of the Rosetta mission that landed last week on a comet nicknamed 67P. Here's the deal. Because of a rough landing, the mission and the device designed by UT Arlington chemistry professor Daniel Armstrong has gone dark. Daniel Armstrong, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me, Justin.
This is, in some ways, a crowning achievement in your career, and now it's lying in the shadows on the surface of a comet. How does that make you feel?
Well, this is a column that we developed. We didn't develop the entire instrument, just a piece of the instrument that's in there. And while it has gone dark, there's a good chance that when it warms up as the comet gets closer to the sun, sometime in April, May, June, it could warm up, get some light on the solar panels, and it could start up again.
Now, your device is a type of a gas chromatography column. Can you explain in layman's terms what it does?
Well, this is a special column. Mine is what's called a chiral column or handed column. It not only separates molecules, it separates special molecules known as right and left-handed chiral molecules. They're also known as the molecules of life. For example, all living things on Earth are composed of the L or left-handed amino acid, not the right-handed form. And they're notoriously difficult to separate, and we invented a column that does that separation.
Now, how did your invention get on the mission? Did the European Space Agency contact you, or...?
Nobody contacted me at all. We'd actually developed the column probably late 1990. It was commercialized rapidly, and they probably picked it because it was a well-known commercial column that had a long track record, and it also had the broadest selectivity. In other words, it seemed to separate the greatest number of compounds, and so probably that's why they picked it.
What are you doing these days? I mean, are there any other inventions of yours stocked away on spacecraft for future missions?
I know we had a different column that was being considered on a mission to Venus. This was several years ago. We were told of this, and it was supposed to analyze atmospheric gases there. I actually lost track of that, so I don't know what has become of that particular mission. I have an analogous column to the one that is going to the Philae mission on Rosetta that is going to be on a Mars mission.
So what's the status of the Rosetta mission now? What happens next?
Well, it's interesting. As you know, they had a few problems, but fortunately it had, I think, 64 hours of battery power in its primary battery, and so it did some surface analysis and sent back a lot of data. Now, we don't know the results of that data yet, but I do note that one of the things that was released was that the surface molecule detection included a handedness or chirality of molecules, which means it was on the columns. They were using the columns that mine and one of the two others.
So your device has been used?
Apparently it has been used, and hopefully when this thing wakes up again in April, May, or June, when it gets close to the sun and warms up, it can complete its mission and do a lot of further analyses.
Daniel Armstrong, chemistry professor at UT Arlington, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
What does it sound like to land on a comet traveling 84,000 miles an hour? Go to keranews.org to hear the incredibly short touchdown. Mostly cloudy skies tonight, a 30% chance for showers with the low near 57. Tomorrow should be cloudy, 40% chance of rain with the high near 70. 69 degrees in Dallas and Fort Worth, 63 in Tyler, 58 in Wichita Falls. From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Justin Martin.